Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free, to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country, to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Wedding Cake on Heritage Radio Network. So before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love. That's love spelled L-U-V and hashtag using Wedding Cake, all one word, or Heritage_Radio, or hashtag RevLove. Ooh, so welcome to the 10th episode of the first season of Wedding Cake. I can't believe how much time has gone so quickly. So crazy, David, right? 10 episodes? I feel like we just sort of started the season. Well, this show is a sweet revenge on my own wedding day years ago when I didn't get to have any cake because I eloped in Vegas. Boo-hoo. So that marriage didn't work out, but I still love weddings. I love DJing them. I love writing the ceremonies and officiating them. I even love coordinating the surprise marriage proposals around New York City. So go to my website, djcherishthelove.com. That's love spelled L-U-V. Reach out to me if you're planning on popping the question. I can coach you and together we can make it epic. And the best part of the show, every week we get to eat wedding cake on air. And because I'm not bitter and I love love, I decided I should have my cake every week and eat it too. So if you need a DJ for your wedding or want me to officiate or at your ceremony, just hit me up and check out my previous episodes on things like how to hire an awesome DJ for your big day, photographer, so on and so forth. So speaking of DJing, I, DJ Cherish the Love, am Whole Foods New York City's official DJ. So come hang, eat, listen to my select tunes every first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8 p.m. Bryant Park, New York City. See you August 1st. And August is actually a big month for this DJ. I start as a resident DJ at New York's coolest, hottest new lounge, Urban Vegan Kitchen. This August 11th, I'll be at Rockwood Music Hall, which is shocking because that's usually not a place you see a DJ. I'll be spinning classics and unsigned and indie artists. So please send me your tracks and I'll put them out into the world. Send them to DJ Cherish the Love, spelled love, L-U-V, at gmail.com. So for more info on that and schedules, just follow me on Instagram at DJ Cherish the Love. So you might also remember my voice from my previous show on Heritage Radio Network called Primary Food. It hasn't gone away. It still very much lives. So search for it on iTunes and Stitcher because there are many, many gems about life and creativity and my healing from cancer. And I will be back on the Primary Food. But since it is wedding season, I figured we should all have cake and talk about love. So listeners, listen up. If you're listening right now, you can call in live 718-497-2128. 718-497-2128. So this show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. I would love you forever. So again, you can call in live 718-497-2128 to join me and today's guest, the one and only, sweet, stylish, tattooed, Ashton Warren. Hey.
Hi.
Also known as Lady Ashton. And she has created today's wedding cake that we are nibbling on in the studio as we talk. It is, oh my God, sitting in front of me, salted caramel, layers and layers of goodness. Ashton, you are a Michelin star pastry chef, correct?
I am.
And you owned a wedding cake business before you started in restaurant kitchens.
I did. It didn't take off, but it was there.
Props. Hello, still props. And you now run the dessert program at Antique Bar and Bakery in Hoboken. So we're going to talk about wedding cakes, style, and, you know, we're sitting here with our awesome gluten-free and vegan amazing wedding cake, gluten-free using our friend Bob's Red Mill gluten-free flour. Yay. So tell us about this wonderful cake you have made for us today, what it's called. Describe it for the listeners who aren't lucky enough to have it in front of them right now.
So I made my favorite cake, which is a hummingbird cake. I had it first time a couple years ago, and it blew my mind. It's kind of, I like to call it the marriage of banana bread and carrot cake.
Mm.
And it's served with cream cheese frosting. So once I had it, I was like, how do I make this even better? So now I cook the pecans, bananas, and pineapple in maple syrup. And then I make my cream cheese frosting with maple syrup and orange zest. It kind of ties in the tanginess of the cream cheese and the pineapple. And then the maple just balances well with the cinnamon and the bananas. Since this is vegan and gluten-free, I did not use cream cheese frosting or tofu cream cheese. I added a little bit of apple cider vinegar to the frosting to add the tanginess as well as the maple syrup.
I was going to ask about that. It's like, how did you get that tang?
And then I have a salted caramel that is dripping over the cake as well.
It's kind of hard to concentrate with this thing sitting in front of me. And
flavor just, explosion.
Oh, flavor explosion, the layers, the shininess and the yumminess. You've got this beautiful piece of pineapple. Tell us about that, just sitting there.
So hummingbird cake was originally called hummingbird cake. It's a southern tradition, and it was decorated with dehydrated pineapple. And when it was arranged around the cake, it looked like the wings of hummingbirds.
I love that.
So I added it just for a little bit of garnish. The bakery that I work at, we have a coal-burning oven. And so I actually just, as we like to say, shoved it in the hot hole and charred the pineapple and made a little pineapple chip.
I just love that. Shove it in the hot hole.
Shove it in the hot hole.
That sounds great.
Anything I make, it's like, oh, you know what would make this better?
Shove it in the hot hole.
That's what she said.
The best part, really, you know, aside from all of that awesomeness, it says WC on top, which, you know.
I couldn't fit wedding cake.
So it's the perfect piece of art. It really is so artful looking. It's another one of these naked cakes that I learned about from Mini Melanie, where there's no icing covering the outside, and you can see the layers and see the what kind of frosting is hiding inside there. It's just kind of like oozing out. It's so sexy.
Thanks.
This is like a very...
Food should be sexy. Food should turn you on. If it doesn't make you weak in the knees, then you're not doing your job.
Oh, there's so much bad food out there that doesn't do that, but we eat it still. So we need to change that. So I like that. I like that food should be sexy. I agree. But you have apparently a sweet tooth, I'm thinking.
I do.
You work in bakeries.
I do. It's bad. I was in restaurants for a while and took a little hiatus, and I couldn't get enough sugar. And now that I'm eating sugar every day, I'm constantly like, black coffee, chips, like counteract the salt and bitterness.
To balance it.
But then like I'm off work for 2 days and I'm buying chocolate and...
Sugar is just, you know, sugar is sugar.
Mm-hmm. But I love salt in my desserts. Most of my desserts are very salt heavy because salt actually brings out all the flavor. So if you're not having a flavor pop enough, like it brings out brightness in citrus and fruits. And then it also balances with chocolate and maple and all of that. So if you add salt to things, you're going to heighten the flavor.
Where do you learn something like this?
Just tasting
and learning. But you do have a formal background in...
I do. I went to the Institute of Culinary Education for pastry studies. And then I've been working in the industry for, I think, 9 years now.
What is it like going to ICE? Is it super competitive amongst your classmates? Like everyone's trying to make a cake or... you know, like one up each other on like their salted caramel.
It's pretty mellow. There's definitely the people who have to be perfectionist. And then there's definitely like we'd get our assignment and we'd do our thing. And at the end of the class, we'd put it out and have everyone critique and kind of just go around. And there's definitely a couple students that you're like, oh, every week I know whose that is because it just like somehow didn't end up the way that it was supposed to.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like I definitely learned more being on hands in the kitchen and doing internships, though.
I had done an interview with Chef Bird Garcia some years ago, and he was saying, don't waste your money on school.
Yeah, a lot of chefs say that. Because especially with pastry, I've done a couple of like talkings and judgings at the French Culinary Institute, and at FCI, they allow their culinary students to work one of their semesters in a kitchen so they can kind of see how a kitchen runs, and they don't get the same privilege in pastry. And also with being in a kitchen, they don't prepare you for 12-hour days. They don't prepare you for lack of, like, not being paid a lot.
Of course not. No burns. Like,
yeah,
that.
They don't prepare you for, you know, actually, like, getting 20 tickets on a Friday night and having to prioritize each one and know when goes in the oven and when
doesn't. I had a mini panic attack when you said that. It was like 20 tickets on a Friday night sitting in front of me that I had to fulfill.
It's like the souffle takes this long and the bread pudding takes this long, but I have to scoop this ice cream for this one and this has this, and then you just kind of all have to like rearrange them in a certain way to make sure that everything comes out to the table at the same time.
I don't know. All I heard was ice cream. I love ice cream.
I do too.
You did some ice cream tasting today, I think.
I tried 12 ice creams today.
What is it?
What does that mean? Well, at the bakery, we're working on, we like to call it pie scream.
Okay.
So all of our ice creams are made with pie or inspired by pies.
At Antique
Bar and Bakery.
Bar and Bakery in Hoboken, you will get pie scream.
Pie scream.
Okay, keep talking.
You scream, I scream, we all scream for.
Pie scream.
Pie scream.
Awesome. Awesome. So you tried 12 of them 12 of, today.
I had 12 ice creams today. Not all of them were pie-spired.
Pie-spired.
But I did try 12. Right now I have a lemon meringue, blueberry cobbler, pecan, cherry, and then just playing around with a couple other flavors.
That just sounds so good. And you do also vegan cakes regularly, right? Are you classified as a freelance cake maker?
I am a freelance cake maker.
I love that. See, my background is as a freelance designer, and I never thought anything else could be attached to the word freelance because, you know, I'd thought the world revolved around me, I guess. So freelance cake maker.
Well, I worked in the restaurant business for a while, and I got burnt out. And so I took a hiatus and realized I missed it. And so I started doing freelance cakes and orders and pies and things like that. And then I got this opportunity, so I took it, and it's great.
Do you find making cakes like super pleasurable and meditative and rewarding and all that?
Like, I love it. I mean, we were talking earlier and I was saying that the only time that it's not stressful, and my friends and partners and parents will tell you that, like, I definitely have that nervous breakdown where I'm in tears and the cake has to be delivered in 30 minutes and it's falling off the plate and all of those things have happened. But if I have the time to sit there and actually just like frost a cake with the right like music on, it's like meditation. Or I do hand painted cakes too. You can cover them in fondant and you can manipulate food coloring like you would watercolor. And so you can actually just paint right on the cake. And
Oh my God, that sounds so gorgeous.
It's really relaxing too.
I don't think I've seen a painted cake. I'm going to have to look. Have you got these on your website?
I have some on my Instagram. It's lady.ashton.
Lady.ashton. Check out the gallery. She's a lady. She's got her nails on fleek. Yes. Cake on fleek. Everything on fleek.
My brows on today for everything. The radio because everyone can see them.
Salted caramel on fleek. Everything. So now let's talk about this Michelin star. What does that mean? How did that happen? That's pretty dope.
It happened without me really knowing what the Michelin Guide was. I was the pastry chef at Marc Forgione for 4 or 5 years, I believe 5 years. And a year in, we had the Michelin people come and give us our rating, and we got a star. And it was super exciting because Marc was the youngest American-born Michelin star chef granted a star in the United States. And so then, like a year later, because we kept it for 3 years that I was there, we had a chef coast to coast wine dinner with Michelin star chefs and winemakers from California. And at the bottom of it, they paired my dessert with the wine. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I get to be on the menu. And they're like, well,
and have some wine.
You are a chef in this restaurant as well. And it wasn't until after I left that I was talking to somebody and they're like, you guys have a Michelin star. Like, that's great. I can't believe you're a Michelin star chef. That's awesome. And I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, that's you don't lose it.
I just realized if I wanted to have for my wedding a Michelin star cake, make my cake, like, call you.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
It's me.
That's you. Now, in the Michelin world, are there many vegan cakes? Because this one's vegan. And you think sometimes you should make a vegan cake for people, not just for the animal rights reasons, but for the health reasons as well. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I'm actually a vegetarian, and I would have considered going vegan if it wasn't for my profession. I think baking with vegan stuff is very interesting because everything that you learn in school and everything that you just know from growing up, you have those solid, like, eggs, butter, milk. And so being able to produce the same product and not use those, it's kind of a fun experiment. The longer that you play around with baking, you realize, like, what leaveners does this and what makes this moist and how does this carry and blah, blah, blah. And so once you take out all of the ingredients, it's fun to play around with.
Nobody's missing those elements. We had a taste testing of this hummingbird cake in front of us, their executive director and everyone else, and we're just like, I believe someone said they were having orgasms from the cake.
That's my goal in life. Like I said, food should turn you on. And I feel like I always say this about your palate in general, is we have all of these taste buds, and a lot of things, like someone when we were out said that cake is usually one noted to her. And cake should never be, all dessert shouldn't be one noted. You should have a salt and a sweet and a savory and a sour. There should be something that kind of hits everything. So as soon as you take a bite, you automatically like it before your brain decides that you like it, because you're tricking your palate. You're hitting all of your taste buds in first bite. And so you, naturally, just the way your science works, you like it because it's catering to all of your taste buds.
And that's why this collection of flavors is so explosive, because it really hits everything. Is that a traditional type of cake, did you say? So it's a hummingbird cake, is a traditional cake, but these exact flavors,
I've definitely tweaked them. Like I said, added the maple and the orange and the salted caramel.
I think people need to find out where you're located.
So I am in Hoboken. Yes, come out to Hoboken. It's not that far. It's worth it. And don't go to Carlo's Bakery. Come to us instead. Don't wait in line. Every time I pass the line, I want to be like, just come over here, guys. So we are on Willow and 2nd, and we're only about an 8-minute walk from the PATH train. It's called Antique Barn Bakery. The bakery has been there for about 100 years. It was originally just called Antique Bakery. Our claim to fame was that it was Frank Sinatra's favorite bakery. They moved their facilities to Jersey City, but they're still making the same bread. So they deliver that bread every single day, the original recipe that they've always made. And we opened up a restaurant called Antique Bar and Bakery. The 80-foot coal burning oven is still in the back. It's an open kitchen, so you can sit in and you can see us shovel the coal into the hot hole.
The hot hole. I was going to say,
everything comes out of there, has that little bit of a nice char to it. You get the whole atmosphere. And then we just recently, within the last like 3 months, opened up our bakery and cafe. So I've taken over that as well.
That is fantastic.
And we do custom orders for cupcakes, cakes, pies, you name it.
And the style of the bakery is like, you said it was like kind of retro.
It's like a 60s, early 70s vibe. Our two owners are Paul Gerard and Joe Costello. Joe Costello is a filmmaker, so he's very attention to detail. And Paul is an old rock and roller from Brooklyn, born and raised. And so the two of them together, it almost the collection of knickknacks and posters and things that they've compiled, you walk in, you kind of feel like you're in your grandmother's home, but like your cool grandma. It's like, wow, grandma, like, where'd you get that signed poster of you too? You're like, it's that kind of thing. And it's really beautiful inside, and the whole aesthetic, we play 60s and 70s all the time.
It's super stylish, as with this cake, as with you. And you have an interesting cake background in fashion, correct?
Yes. I went to FIT for evening wear.
Evening wear.
Evening wear. And so I as soon as I graduated, went to culinary school and did custom wedding cakes and dresses. And I still don't think anyone has tackled that market. But I was 20 years old and no one took me seriously.
Oh, wow.
They're like, oh, well, you can't do both. And I said, if I didn't think I could do both, I wouldn't be here.
Would you consider cake making an art form for you as well?
Oh, for sure.
And you've taken your FIT knowledge into...
Yeah. I mean, like we were talking about with the flavor profile, it's the same with clothing. They always say, like, if you feel like you have too much on, go back inside and take one piece off. Textures, styles, like, it doesn't have to match. It just has to go. Like, same with, like, salt and maple and orange and pineapple and all of that. Like, they don't necessarily... We never put pineapple and banana together unless you're drinking, like, a tropical drink. But adding cinnamon and maple, now you have a really moist cake.
I find that cakes have kind of, you know, represent fashion too. I feel like there are definitely cake flavors in fashion and cake flavors that some people are like, no, that's so like 2 years ago cake. Do you see that in customer orders as well?
I don't. I guess the funfetti trend is real on point right now, and the unicorn trend, like
having so everything. Let's talk about what is funfetti
rainbow.
For someone who doesn't know.
A funfetti cake is actually just rainbow sprinkles in vanilla cake. Surprise,
simple.
It's kind of magic. At my last restaurant, I played around with doing a chocolate funfetti cake because you don't ever really see that. So you cut into it and it was chocolate, but you still had the color explosions. But yeah, kids love it. Every time we put a funfetti cake up at the bakery, it's gone.
And a unicorn cake?
And the unicorn cake is just a rainbow cake. Sometimes we put some edible glitter on it, some disco dust.
Do you trust that? I don't trust the edible glitter. It just seems so like, that's metal.
This is actually the thing. It's like, it was forever. Okay. Like at the cake store, they have two sections of edible glitter. And just recently I went in there to go pick some up because we have a dessert that we have edible gold on. And there's like a sign being like, not edible, not edible, not edible, not edible.
No.
Like, these are the edible ones. Like, these aren't the edible. I'm like, they must have just had something come out recently. Within the last like 2 months, these signs have come up and they were never there before.
So don't eat that part of the cake.
Don't tell anyone I told you that. No. Yeah.
I mean, I think people need to get on the PATH train. It's not scary. Head out to Hoboken.
Yeah,
get
we have
some of this
some
cake.
Great desserts for dinner, and then we have a great bakery. The case is always full. We make homemade bagels and donuts every single day.
And you should come during the day, right?
Yeah,
it's
come
pretty,
during the day. You get to hang out
calm.
With me.
At nighttime, there's
usually like a
lines.
Line to get in.
Yeah,
definitely a wait list.
Get some gender reveal cakes from you as well.
Yes.
Custom cakes. What are some custom cake orders you've had?
The gender reveal ones were fun. I haven't done that before, and I've seen them online where it's just like, oh, it's a, you know, blue center or something. And so the woman actually had come up to me and said that she really likes lemon. So I ended up doing a lemon poppy seed cake. And then it was a boy. So I was like, I could either do strawberry or blueberry filling. So I did a blueberry filling with lemon poppy seed.
Oh,
so it was like, it was very subtle. It's not like you're going to just like have like just a vanilla cupcake with blue frosting.
Oh, my stomach. I mean, I have the cake in front of me, but I just love cake talk. What's your website?
My personal website is a little lacking right now. It is ladyashton.com, but you can check out my Instagram. It's lady.ashton, and then the Instagram for the bakery is thebakery_@_antique, and then antique_bar_bake.
Well, you know, I'd love to get to know you because you told me that you were on wedding TV. Like, oh, tell me about that.
My first internship right out of culinary school was with the Cake Atelier. And on my day of my interview and trial, they said that, so we just got offered the first season of Amazing Wedding Cakes. Would you be okay to being on television? And I said, yeah, sure. And so my first day of internship, we were... behind the camera the whole time.
Is that online somewhere that we could see?
I think so. It's season one of Amazing Wedding Cakes.
Check that out.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And then I've had a little stints here and there through Mark Forgione, where I've been able to be on the Food Network too, which is cool.
Well, let's talk about a little bit, you know, cakes and designs. You've seen a lot of different types of designs and trends. What, you know, what does it mean to you? Or do you like to just create your own your own fashion in a way, your own style of cake?
I feel like lately I've been really on board with the naked cake, as you will, and drip cakes. I think drip cakes are fun, whether you're doing like a chocolate ganache or
That's very much in fashion.
I've been doing fruit reductions. So I just made a cake at the bakery and we did a blueberry reduction. So it was a vanilla cake and then just had this beautiful, dark, rich blue that dripped down the sides. And then I just like a traditional, like, frosted cake. I don't need anything special.
But whether it's super elaborate or simple, you bring a cake out. Even my fake cake here. People smile. Carla cake. People smile when they see cake. Why do you think so?
Because it's delicious, or it should be delicious.
It should be. It's just like, oh, my mind, it's time to celebrate.
It's like bubbles. It's you can't see bubbles and not smile.
Oh, my God. If you see bubbles and you don't smile.
But I think that's the thing with funfetti, too, is like, I love sprinkles because it's like a party on top of your cake or your ice cream or anything. It's like party. And so when you see a funfetti cake, you're like, that is an instant party in my mouth.
Oh, my God. And what do you pair your cakes with? Coffees, wines?
I love coffee and cake. I really do. I think that there's, for me, it's helping me cut my sweetness overload. But it's just, it's a great pairing in general.
I love it. I love it. Ashton Warren, we're going to take a little break, a little music and a word from our sponsor. This track is from Caribbean's new album, Alizon in the Quiet Room. Check it out.
In my infinite wisdom, in my deep cavernous jaw, there is sand, soil, and there is zinc. There's an eyelash powder.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Whole Foods Market believes in seeking out local, fresh, and seasonal food and in supporting local farmers, makers, and the community as a whole, economically and agriculturally. Whole Foods Market believes in food that is vivid and colorful, fresh and full of nutrients, food that connects you to your body, the seasons, and to nature, food that helps you do more, sleep better, and wake up happier. Found in over 400 locations throughout the United States, Whole Foods Market only sells food that meets their standards, which means no artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or sweeteners, ever. Whole Foods Market believes in real food. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more.
And we're back with Ashton Warren, a.k.a. Lady Ashton.
Hi.
And you just asked me a really great question. What do I do with all the cakes from these episodes?
Well, I asked you what size to bring, and you're like, people brought all sizes. So I brought like a little tiny ones, like a 4-inch and like a 2-inch. And you said you've gotten some large ones. I'm just curious, like, what do you do with all that cake?
Oh, I bring them home, and then I host guests, and everyone thinks I'm a badass because I just have all these cakes all the time.
You'd be surprised how many doors open with cake.
Yeah.
I think I'm a lot of things with cake.
I'll be like, I'll just walk up and be like,
oh, I brought you this cake.
Here's a cake.
I got my nails done the other day, and I didn't have money to tip, and I was like, you want some donuts?
Did you just, like, whip out donuts from your bed? And what did they say?
They're like, oh, thank you.
Wow, thank you. Donuts is good.
I was like, don't worry. I'll see you next time. But, like, here's some donuts.
I love it. Oh, my God. I love that so much. That track was by Caribbean, Infinite Wisdom. Listeners, you can get it on Amazon or iTunes or directly from her website, caribbean.com. So I also learned something from you. Cake should never be served cold.
Yes, it is one of my biggest pet peeves. And I actually want to have stickers made to put on every single box that says, enjoy me at room temperature. Every time people bring a cake into the restaurant or I've been somewhere where I brought a cake, they're like, do you want us to put it in the fridge? And I have to ask what time they're serving it because when cake is cold, the buttercream hardens, so it's not fluffy and soft and creamy, and the cake actually solidifies, so it's more dense. It doesn't have that light and fluffiness. So the flavor and the texture changes, and you can try the same cake next to each other, and it tastes like two different things. So cake should always be served at room temperature.
I have definitely committed a crime.
Unless it's ice cream cake. and then you do you.
Now, speaking of that, okay, so you've made many, 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 many cakes. Have you had some cake-making disaster stories?
Well, I've had all of the cake-making disaster stories.
All of them, all right.
I feel like the first year of my own business, I hit every single one of them. To this day, I will not do cream cheese frosting in the summer.
Oh, boy. Speaking of you do you, things melting.
It's really terrible. It was a three-tiered cake. And I was assembling it on at this location. And so I had them outside waiting for me. And I was getting my car and getting my bag and my tools. And I came outside and the cake had fallen off the board onto the sidewalk. And I was literally minutes away from delivering the cake and it didn't have a middle tier.
Oh, God.
And then there was another cake that I did that I delivered it and it was beautiful. And I took photos and it was like breathtaking. It was like it had some fresh flowers, but then also had the New York skyline around the base of it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And I got a call 20 minutes after I delivered it. And this was a couple years ago when it was like 100 and something degrees during the summer. And they're like, your cake has fallen off the table. Can you come back?
And do what?
And I had to end up just serving the tier that was for them. And I stayed in touch with them and actually gave them a free anniversary cake for their anniversary because I was like, you don't have the cake to serve anymore because you had to serve it too. But they had sheet cake too, so it wasn't like they had no cake.
Oh, that sheet cake. You know, I have a thing about that sheet cake. I feel like it's cheating, but I get it.
It is cheating.
So how did you get this little cake from Hoboken here?
I took a car and I held it with one hand.
Were you cradling it?
Yeah, like? I was actually holding it like Egyptian style hand palm, just in my palm. And the driver's like, you can put that down. And I was like, no, I'm good.
No.
I'm like, I can control the shocks. And he's like, no, the seat's flat. And I was like, you don't see this tilt. That cake will slide right.
How sad if this beautiful hummingbird cake would have like collapsed in the car. So sad. Now, I'm not going to just, you know, end this on the tragic stories of cakes fallen. You must have some favorite cakes, too, that you've made.
Yeah, I guess it's been long enough that before I didn't know how I could actually talk about it, but it's pretty talkable now. It's like my one like claim to fame fun
Ooh,
story.
Because
I got the honor of making Ryan Reynolds' birthday cake 2 years
in
a row.
Oh, hello. Nice.
Blake Lively used to be a regular at Mark Forgione, and she was obsessed with my desserts. And so we got to talking once, and she's like, well, where do you get custom cakes? And
I was like,
well, I do custom cakes. And this was actually before they were like out and about as a couple. And so I was like, gave her my card, didn't really think anything of it. The next day I got a call from her assistant being like, I have Blake Lively for you. And I was like
hello, okay.
And
real.
So I told her what I was able to do. And I said that I could paint on cakes and do all of these things. She's like, yeah, I was actually looking at your website and I saw some of your painted cakes. I have a picture that I'm going to send you. And the picture she sent me was a picture of a naked man pushing a barrel of hay. And she was like, can you recreate this? And I was like, of course I can.
On cake.
On cake. So I ended up painting the whole backdrop and the naked man. Gosh. And then I did spun sugar around the wheelbarrow or the barrel of hay.
Sugar hay.
So I got to paint a naked man. And it turns out when I went to go deliver it to the place, that's when I found out they were like, oh, it's for the Reynolds party.
Wild.
And I like Googled it and I was like, oh,
wow. Totally.
And then she called me the next year and was like, hey, it's that time of year again. Would you be willing to make another cake?
Oh my gosh.
I tried to keep in touch with her, but it didn't end up working.
More naked men cakes.
But it was really,
did you find out what the really wheelbarrow fun. Was about? Did you ever ask?
Yeah. So apparently one of his best friends is that notorious guy who gets naked at every national monument or theme park or things like you're not supposed to get naked in front of, and they take pictures, and no matter where he is, he sends them to that group of friends. And so he was coming to surprise him for his birthday, so she thought it'd be great as if when he saw the cake, he saw this picture and realized, oh, here, and then he like surprised him.
I don't know how to end this episode because I have naked men in my
naked men
head
pushing barrels of hay. It was the best thing I ever got to paint on a cake.
Oh, wait, is it that guy that does the portraits of naked people, like, out in the public, like, a group of naked people? Like, or just him?
It's just him.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty fun.
I really don't know where to go with that. So I'm just going to change my brain into the fact that you are a woman in business.
I am.
Challenges?
Every day, especially in the kitchen. I run into things all the time. I have walked away from jobs and walked away from situations for being treated unfairly. And I actually was telling you earlier that I got to pick a quote for my business card. And the quote that I picked was, nobody puts baby in the corner. It's a joke because I love the movie and it fits very well with Antique. But it's also like, I'm very aware that I'm the only girl in the boys club and I do not belong in that corner.
Was ICE also a boys club?
No, pastry is not a boys club for the most part.
Okay.
I actually have one guy on my pastry team right now, but we only had one boy in our class. But just in general, the kitchen, people ask me all the time, like, how do I react to catcalling and sexual harassment and all this? So I was like, you be in a kitchen for 9 years, you've heard it all.
Wow.
And it doesn't faze me anymore. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I obviously pick my battles, but it's now I'm at the point where like I make the jokes first.
Uh-huh.
And
Yeah,
I'm just used to it. Nothing fazes me anymore.
Well, I think you're a super stylish, badass, cake-making Michelin star. Awesome, awesome.
Thank you.
The only way I can top that is, or try to, I have a picture of Johnny Uzzini holding a big knife to my neck.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I'm going to show that to you. Ashton Warren, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, of course. It was a pleasure.
So wonderful. I'm going to take the rest of this cake home, maybe share it with David, maybe not. I don't know. He's, you know, there in the booth looking all sad and stuff.
Flavor explosion.
Everyone, please come check out Antique Bar and Bakery.
Antique Bar and Bakery. We're on Willow and 2nd in Hoboken. It is worth the trip.
Thank you so much. And we're closing the show again with Joni Leeds and the Nightlights. Come back for more wedding cake.
So everybody say love is love. Say love is love.
Wedding Cake is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now.
It shouldn't matter, no, 'cause love makes us family.
for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Fresh Pickings is a podcast by Heritage Radio Network presented by Bob's Red Mill. Love learning about food? Get more superfood for your brain with the featured podcast miniseries, Fresh Pickings. Go to bobsredmill.com/freshpickings.
Are you one of the millions of Americans who have trouble digesting gluten, or are you looking to shed a few pounds by shifting towards a low-carb diet? Well, we've got just the answer for you. Almond flour. Made with 100% sweet almonds, it's the perfect alternative to traditional white flours. Alternative flours are sweeping the nation and taking the baking industry by storm. Welcome to Fresh Pickings. I'm your host, Kat Johnson, and today we're looking at one small nut's journey through the mill and how almond flour can transform everything you thought you knew about baking. On this episode, I'll talk to our resident almond flour expert, Cynthia Cherish Malloran, host of the new podcast Wedding Cake here on HRN. She'll talk about the nutritional benefits of almond flour and how the grain is processed. Then I'll invite Eli Sussman, host of The Line and co-owner and chef of Semesa, to teach us his recipe for almond cake using Bob's Red Mill's almond flour. So stay tuned. I'm here with Katie Mosman-Wadler, the executive director of Heritage Radio Network. So Katie, it's 4:30 in the afternoon. How are you feeling?
I mean, I'm always hungry, but at 4:30, this is the time when I start to think about cookies and how much I would like to have a cookie right now. I'm thinking about snacks.
Well, we probably shouldn't have cookies for an afternoon snack. What about something healthy like almonds?
Yeah, that sounds okay. Not super exciting. I really want a cookie.
Okay, well, maybe we could compromise. What if we made cookies using almond flour? We can use it in place of the white flour, and almond flour is high in protein, low in carbs, and low in sugar, so it'll be a lot healthier.
That actually sounds so delicious. I think we should do it.
Yeah, we can have our cookies and eat them too.
All right, good deal.
And now let's hear about the origins of almond flour and the benefits of using it from our very own expert, Cynthia Cherish Malloran, a.k.a. DJ Cherish the Love. Cynthia is the host of our new show on HRN, Wedding Cake, and she's also a killer DJ and even an ordained minister. So let's start from the beginning. Where does the magical nut, the almond, come from?
Hey, so the almond is native to an area stretching from the northern Indian subcontinent westwards to Syria, Israel, and Turkey. It was spread by humans in ancient times along the shores of the Mediterranean into northern Africa and southern Europe, and more recently transported to other parts of the world, notably California.
California, like, always gets the best stuff. Mm-hmm. So, Cynthia, I've heard a rumor that almonds aren't actually nuts. Is that true?
That is absolutely right, Kat. The almond seed or fruit is not a true nut, but a drupe. The almond is actually the seed of the fruit that grows on almond trees, a medium-sized tree that bears fragrant pink and white flowers. And like its cousins, peach, cherry, and apricot trees, the almond tree bears fruit with stone-like seeds or pits within. The seed of the almond fruit is what we refer to as the almond nut.
So could you eat the fruit that the almond grows in?
No, you know, you really can't. And when I was a kid, I went to visit an almond orchard, and I remembered picking what I thought was an apple off of the tree, bit into it, pretty awful. Threw it out, grabbed another, quote, apple, bit into it. And my cousin said, that's not an apple. That's an almond. And he broke open the, quote, apple. And there it was. One almond.
So I know that almonds are very healthy. What about the health benefits of almonds?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because there is a plethora of great health benefits in almonds. More than 65% of the fat in almond flour is monounsaturated, which is excellent for maintaining healthy cholesterol levels and good overall heart health, which we all love. Additionally, scientists find that almond consumption can reduce the risk of coronary heart disease by keeping blood vessels healthy. Almonds also help manage post-meal blood glucose levels, the presence of insulin in the blood, and oxidative damage, and they raise antioxidant levels in the blood after a meal.
I had no idea that they did all those things. So maybe they should say an almond a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah, maybe closer to like a handful of almonds. But yes, they do have incredible benefits.
It sounds like these nuts, sorry, fruits, have a lot more than meets the eye. Anything else we should know?
Yes, plenty. Almonds are notoriously healthy nuts, providing a good amount of manganese and vitamin E, as well as a healthy serving of monounsaturated fats in each quarter cup serving. Because not only do almonds have a healthy boost of protein, they are also very low in carbohydrates and inherently gluten-free, which I love. So when they're ground into a flour, they add moistness and a rich, nutty taste to baked goods. And I'm going to be making a couple of almond flour gluten-free cakes on my show, Wedding Cake, this season.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for all this great info, Cynthia.
You're welcome.
Now let's turn to Eli Sussman, who is going to teach us how to use this awesome ingredient. Eli is the host of The Line here on Heritage Radio Network, and he's the chef and co-owner of Semisa, along with his brother Max.
Hey, Kat. So almond flour is made from almonds that have been blanched to remove the skins and then ground to a fine texture that is great for baking. So replacing 25% of the flour in your baking with almond flour will add wonderful texture and flavor while reducing the total carbohydrates. It can be used in savory applications as well, in place of breadcrumbs and meatballs, or even as a coating for chicken and fish.
Awesome. So how do you use almond flour in your cooking at Semisa?
We've been using almond flour in this really delicious dessert that we make. It's an almond cake. We make it in these small bundt pans, and then once we pop them out, we dust them with powdered sugar. They're really nice, bite-sized, really delicious.
That sounds so good. Thanks for sharing. So I will definitely be by Semisa soon to try that. Thanks to Cynthia for schooling me on almonds and to Eli for sharing his tips on using almond flour. You can find his recipe for Semisa's almond cake at bobsredmill.com/freshpickings. Well, that's just about everything you could want to know about almond flour, and this is the season finale of Fresh Pickings. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check out all of the episodes and learn more about Bob's Red Mill's favorite ingredients, including some delicious recipes and great coupon offers, by going to bobsredmill.com/freshpickings. Bob's Red Mill believes in good food for all. For Heritage Radio Network, I'm Kat Johnson, and thanks for joining us.